Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
The show you're about to hear originally aired in May of 2016. And here it is. Over the last few months, I participated with a group in organizing six deep state panels for the Left Forum in New York City, May 20th to the 22nd. Over the next few weeks, you'll hear some of the speeches given by our wonderful panelists. Today, it's Barbara Honegger's turn. She participated in a panel called 9/11, An Ecumenical Approach. Barbara is a leading researcher, author, and speaker on the Pentagon and the anthrax letter attacks. She was a White House policy analyst. She was a special assistant to the assistant to the president. From 2000 to 2011, she was a senior journalist at the Naval Postgraduate School. She's the author of the pioneering book, October Surprise, on the Iran-Contra scandal, which has now been confirmed by formerly classified documents. She's currently a candidate for the U.S. Congress from California's District 20. She's one of the 50 founding current and former high-level government, military, and intelligence officials to call for a new independent investigation into 9/11. She holds a bachelor's from Stanford University, an MS from John F. Kennedy University, and master's level certification in national security decision-making from the Naval War College. She's also the creator of the video Behind the Smoke Curtain on what really happened at the Pentagon. So here is part of that speech that she gave at the Left Forum.
Well, thank you, first of all, to the Left Forum for this historic opportunity to bring you the forensic facts of what really happened and what didn't on 9/11 before the largest gathering of progressive activists in this country. We in the 9/11 Truth Movement are genuinely grateful for this opening to the facts and are mindful of the great responsibility that comes with it, and we are honored for this opportunity. For 15 years since 9/11, the leadership of the progressive left in this nation has tried, as we know, unsuccessfully to stop a series of unilateral aggressive wars and occupations overseas. Those wars continue to this day precisely because the root cause of this evil tree has not been cut. That root is the official claim of who attacked our country on 9/11. That official story is a lie, a gigantic blood libel, which it is my goal in this presentation to expose for all time so that the 9/11 wars can finally be brought to an end and the real perpetrators finally brought to justice. For make no mistake, the real perpetrators of the attacks on our nation on 9/11, as you will see, are still at large. They are armed and they are extremely dangerous. If it is true that the first casualty of war is the truth, then the first casualty of truth can be war, as it will be when the real facts of September 11th reach a critical mass in our body politic, and when the progressive left realizes and acts on the fact that it is the key to achieving that critical mass. This presentation will first and foremost give the evidence. I believe it is absolute proof. I will leave that to your judgment. Will prove that the official 9/11 narrative, the official 9/11 story, upon which all of these ongoing 9/11 wars, on which the transformation of our Defense Department into what is an offense department, with a tripled near $1 trillion annual budget, the global domination agenda, and this grotesque surveillance police state we are in, are all based, is completely false. This presentation will then expose the imminent limited hangout, and I will define that in a moment, the imminent limited hangout that is about to be rolled out in Washington, D.C. by the federal government, all of its branches, well, the executive and the legislative branches, to mislead you, the American public, into believing that the, quote, full truth, unquote, of 9/11 will have then finally been told, so that you can then go to sleep and let the offense department continue to do whatever it wants. Now, a limited hangout, very briefly, is when the military intelligence agencies, usually of a country, including our own, have committed an illegal deed, and they are close to being found out. So what they do is they roll out part of the truth in order to try to prevent the media, the Congress, and the people of the country from asking further questions and believing that everything is then known. It's known as a limited hangout in intelligence parlance. So, to begin, first, as they say, just the facts, ma'am, and what facts they are. These facts, which you are about to see for yourself, will prove that the real story, both at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on 9/11, is the same, and that that real story is pre-placed, pre-planted inside the building explosives with plane approaches and impacts as a deceptively engineered to be misperceived but physically impossible cause of the collapses. Inside explosives take weeks, if not months, to pre-place. In these, in New York City, most controlled, high security, controlled access, high security buildings on this entire planet. The Pentagon and the World Trade Center, and especially World Trade Center 7 in New York City, effectively a federal office building because it housed offices of the CIA, the largest CIA office outside of Langley, Virginia, the FBI, the Department of Defense, the SEC, and the Operations Center of the New York Office of Emergency Preparedness, that no, zero outside terrorists could ever have had the sustained access to plant, because planting pre-placed explosives requires at least weeks in advance of 9/11. So first, let's look at some of the key evidence at the World Trade Center that proves that the official story of 9/11 is a lie. The evidence compiled by the 9/11 Truth Movement about World Trade Centers 1, 2, and 7 is very well known. Both towers were designed specifically to withstand the impact of a large commercial airliner. And no steel frame building, which the towers and all the other buildings in the World Trade Center complex were, have never collapsed due to an impact, fire, or a combination thereof. Not before 9/11, not after, and not on 9/11. That is the official lie. Tall skyscrapers across the world have burned for far longer and far greater fires, even consuming the entire building, and never collapsed, and they never will. It is physically impossible without the pre-planting of explosives. The Twin Towers and World Trade Center 7, the latter not hit by any plane, all three came down in New York City in near free-fall speed into effectively their own footprints on 9/11. This is the pattern and signature of classic controlled demolitions with pre-planted explosives. So in New York City on 9/11, two planes effectively brought down three buildings. This is physically impossible. Now we're going to look at slide one. I consider this what I call the most burning data point of all of the World Trade Center events on 9/11 that proves the official story must be a lie, that there is no other possible interpretation. What you are seeing on the screen is a table of the relative times on the morning of 9/11 of a deep basement explosions in both World Trade Centers 1 and 2 before, in both cases, any plane hit the towers, dozens and dozens and dozens of floors higher up in the building. In the case of World Trade Center 2, there was a massive deep basement explosion 17 seconds before the plane hit the building at all. These are facts, and they must be taken into account by the American public, by our media, and by our Congress. These are facts. Now, when you do the math, the official story claims that the planes that impacted the World Trade Centers were going over 500 miles per hour. At that speed, at 14 seconds and 17 seconds before impact on the buildings, those planes were approximately half a mile from the towers when the deep basement explosions went off. Therefore, it is a necessary inference and therefore a fact that no onboard pilot of either plane could have been in control of the planes when they impacted the towers. Because any pilot in control of either plane could have veered off in that half mile in those 14 and 17 seconds. So whoever planted and triggered the deep basement explosives that went off before either plane hit above in the towers also was in control of the planes on 9/11 to guarantee that the towers would be hit. No hijackers, no pilot, hijacker or otherwise, could therefore have been in control of the planes that hit the Twin Towers on 9/11, even if, as you will see, there were any hijackers on the planes at all. And we know with 100% certainty, 100%, that no hijacker brought down World Trade Center 7, as it was hit by no plane on 9/11, but also came down at about 5:20 p.m. in the early evening of 9/11 in a classic controlled demolition that requires the pre-placement of inside explosives throughout the building weeks, if not months, before 9/11. The official story at the Pentagon, like at the World Trade Center, is explosives. It is pre-placed inside the building explosives and outside the building explosives. Now, it is important for people to know that there was a plane at the Pentagon, but just as at the World Trade Center, the planes were simply the cover cause. They were the deceptively, near simultaneously engineered cover cause for people to believe that the collapses of the World Trade Center towers in the case of New York City and that section of the West Wall of the Pentagon in the case of the Pentagon were caused by the plane impact and fires therefrom. They could not have been, and they were not. Also, at the Pentagon, literally hundreds of witnesses heard bombs go off, said so, have gone on the record, and there was a massive, overwhelming smell of cordite at the Pentagon on 9/11. Cordite is a cool-burning explosive that smells nothing like burning jet fuel. And one of the main witnesses to this overwhelming smell of cordite, and he used that word overwhelming, at the Pentagon was none other than the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff himself, General Hugh Shelton, who said so in his memoirs, used the word overwhelming smell of cordite. So what is the bottom line at the Pentagon? Just as at the World Trade Center, the bottom line of the truth is that no outside terrorist, hijacker or otherwise, Al-Qaeda, bin Laden, or otherwise, no outside terrorist could ever have had the sustained access to either the World Trade Center or the World Trade Center 7 building in New York City that was effectively a government office building, or to the Pentagon before 9/11 to pre-place inside the building explosives that we have proof were pre-planted in all of those buildings. Now, I would like to also refer people to the second link on the screen. It's very important. The first link is to Behind the Smoke Curtain, which is 3 hours of the definitive evidence that the official story at the Pentagon is the same as at the World Trade Center, which is pre-placed inside the building explosives. But it's just about the Pentagon. And also the last third about who did this. The second link is very important. It's the 9/11 Museum virtual walking tour, also on YouTube. And the virtual walking tour is important also because it covers all aspects of 9/11. It covers the World Trade Center, it covers the Pentagon, and it also covers Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and Flight 93. And the wonderful thing about the 9/11 Museum virtual walking tour is that it uses photographs of the actual exhibit items inside the physical 9/11 museum, the official 9/11 museum at Ground Zero, to prove using their own exhibit items, that the official lie that the museum attempts to cast in stone is a lie. It uses its own exhibit items. And the tour takes you through the museum from beginning to end, and you can actually turn it on with your smartphone and earplugs inside the 9/11 Museum at Ground Zero itself, seven stories underground. I've tested it, and it works. Myself and Bonnie Faulkner of the magnificent Pacifica Radio Network station, KPFA, and her wonderful program for over 15 years, Guns and Butter, she and I are your tour guides in the 9/11 Museum virtual walking tour. And the tour is opened and closed by our wonderful friend and colleague, Bob McElvain, who lost his son, Bobby, at World Trade Center 1 on 9/11. So I highly recommend that everyone watching this presentation go to both of these YouTubes and take the time. It is your duty as a citizen of this great country to know what is in these. Now, briefly, I'm just going to give you some of the top data points about Shanksville on 9/11. The official story claims that Flight 93, with passengers on board, crashed into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. However, that's physically impossible. First off, plane debris from that plane began falling out of the sky 8 miles before Shanksville. The debris field of that plane, like debris fields of the plane that was shot down over Ukraine, it also had a debris field of approximately 8 miles. So, also, one of the engines of the plane that was destroyed over near Shanksville was cut in half, was cut in two, which would not happen except by either a bomb or a missile, almost certainly a missile. The coroner on the scene at the alleged crash site, 8 miles further on in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, said there were simply no bodies there. There was no blood. And also, many people don't realize, you learn this in Behind the Smoke Curtain, that the precise same military plane, a C-130, was at the Pentagon just after the event that caused the big black smoke cloud, which was in a diesel trailer outside the Pentagon, which was the source of what smelled like jet fuel but was actually burning diesel fuel from a diesel fuel trailer. The precise same C-130, U.S. Air Force military aircraft, was at the Pentagon just after this event that caused the big smoke cloud and fire in the diesel trailer outside the Pentagon wall. That same C-130 was then sent to Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where the pilot of that identical C-130 was the first official source for the official story lie claim about what happened at both the Pentagon and Shanksville alleged crash sites. Now, that is not a coincidence. That was pre-planned to roll out the official story, which was a lie from the very get-go on day one. So what is the bottom line of the evidence that you have just seen, and much more in Smoke Curtain and the 9/11 Museum virtual walking tour? The bottom line is that we need to stop thinking of and speaking of 9/11 as a terrorist attack. It was an attack, but it was not a terrorist attack by an outside terrorist of any kind, or by the definition of terrorism of any means that the public has been led to believe. 9/11 was not a terrorist attack. It had to have been an inside job. The 9/11 attacks were impossible at an absolute minimum without inside official collaboration, if not orchestration at the Pentagon, and impossible without, at a minimum, collaboration by the owner and lessee of World Trade Center 7, Larry Silverstein, and the other World Trade Center buildings which he leased. He only owned outright World Trade Center 7, which came down in a classic controlled demolition and was not hit by any plane whatsoever. It is impossible without the collaboration by Larry Silverstein and or his building security contractor at the World Trade Center. All right. Now I'm going to move briefly to the second and final part of my presentation, which I call the limited hangout. that you are about to experience coming out of official Washington, D.C. And I am talking about what is called the 28 pages of the Joint House-Senate Intelligence Committee Investigation Report of 9/11, which was the first of the two official reports. The second one was the 9/11 Commission report by our federal government. And this limited hangout is about these 28 pages and the alleged Saudi connection to 9/11. Now, first, everyone in the 9/11 truth movement, we need to go on record here, does believe that these 28 pages should be declassified and released, despite there being an obvious limited hangout. But when those pages are released, and it now looks like with almost certainty that they will be in the near future, we all need to be fully aware and conscious that the official goal of their release is to try to stop you from asking questions, further questions, that would lead to the real masterminds and perpetrators of the attacks. Now, once this Saudi connection in the 28 pages has been revealed, the real perpetrators hope that the public will assume and buy that the, quote, full story, I underline the word full, of 9/11 will have been then told, and that the victims' family members of the attacks and all the American people and the people of the world can finally have what they call closure. This is the claim that if the 28 pages are released, that there will then be full public knowledge of what happened on 9/11 is actually in the letter that was sent by the co-sponsors of H.R. 14, which is the House side bill calling for President Obama to declassify and release the 28 pages of the Joint House Senate Intelligence Committee 9/11 report. In their own letter to President Obama, they state, quote, we consider this to be a matter of providing the American people with all, underlined all, the facts regarding 9/11 and bringing closure to the many individuals who lost family and friends in those attacks, unquote. And House Resolution H.R. 14 itself states that the declassification and release of the 28 pages is, quote, necessary to provide the American public with the full truth, underline full, of the events of September 11th. But as you have just seen, these 28 pages cannot possibly be anything like the full truth. First, from what has been revealed by members of Congress who have already read the 28 pages, they are only about two of the alleged 19 9/11 hijackers, who, by the way, both happened to have been on the alleged Pentagon plane that you have already seen wasn't anywhere near the Pentagon when pre-planted explosives went off by April Gallup's desk almost 8 minutes earlier, before the official story says the plane even arrived. So, information in the 28 pages, when they're revealed finally, about only two of the alleged 19 hijackers, even if this information were true, could not ever be the full truth. Second, at least six and as many as 10 of the alleged 9/11 hijackers, including the Saudi alleged hijackers, were and are still alive. And they went public saying so after the planes they supposedly were in had crashed into flaming fireballs. The 28 pages won't say anything about that. And if the Saudis are sued by the victims' family members, which it looks like they will be, their first line of defense will be, of course, to call the still alive alleged Saudi hijackers into the courtroom. The 28 pages also will not include why the FBI never included Osama bin Laden on its most wanted list for the 9/11 attacks. When asked why not, Rex Toomb, spelled T-O-M-B appropriately, Rex Toomb, who was the chief investigative spokesperson for the FBI, when he was asked why Osama bin Laden wasn't wanted officially by the FBI for 9/11, his public answer was because the FBI doesn't have and didn't have and doesn't have any definitive evidence whatsoever that bin Laden was associated with the attacks. The 28 pages reportedly include mention of Prince Bandar, Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the United States on 9/11, before, during, and after 9/11, who was so close to the Bush family that they, the Bushes, dubbed him Bandar Bush, which they do to this day. The 28 pages won't say anything about how President Bush and this same Prince Bandar Bush celebrated with cigars on the White House balcony shortly after the 9/11 attacks. The 28 pages won't include anything about the Bush White House arranging for those plane loads of Saudi royal family members and even bin Laden family members to leave this country on specially chartered jets before Americans ourselves were allowed to fly. The 28 pages won't say anything about the five dancing Israelis who danced and celebrated the plane impact on the first World Trade Center tower, World Trade Center 1 in New York City, before anyone in the world was supposed to know, except for the alleged hijackers, to know that it was coming. The 28 pages won't say anything about their being arrested, about explosives found in their van, about the lie detector tests they failed, or their being released by dual U.S.-Israeli national Michael Chertoff, who was soon to head our new Homeland Security Department based itself on the official lie of who attacked this country on 9/11, where back in Israel, the five dancing Israelis admitted on Israeli television that they had been sent to the United States to, quote, their words, document the event, unquote. The 28 pages will not say anything about that. The 28 pages will say nothing about the strategic relationship between Israel and Saudi Arabia, or about Prince Bandar Bush meeting with Israel's Mossad intelligence agency and the Israeli military dozens and dozens of times since beginning at least as early as 1990, over a decade before the attacks of 9/11. The 28 pages will say nothing about Philip Zelikow, the 9/11 Commission Executive Director and co-conspirator with White House National Security Council Director Condoleezza Rice, on behalf of President George W. Bush, who wrote the detailed outline for the official 9/11 story contained in the official 9/11 Commission report before the Commission even began its so-called, quote, investigation, unquote. And the 28 pages will not mention that Philip Zelikow, the head of the 9/11 Commission as its executive director, was an expert, according to his own bio, in the, quote, creation and maintenance of public myths. Myth is an official legend, in other words, a lie. Finally, the 28 pages will say nothing about U.S. citizen Anwar al-Awlaki, who, according to the official 911 story, was a key motivator of the very alleged two hijackers mentioned in the 28 pages, who was recently revealed to be a trainer and bomb expert to Al-Qaeda terrorists. It won't mention al-Awlaki having been invited to a special Pentagon luncheon for so-called, quote, moderate, unquote, Muslims in the wake of 9/11, and having given a sermon at the U.S. Capitol, or al-Awlaki having been exposed as an undercover FBI asset. The 28 pages will also say nothing about the self-proclaimed head of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, our alleged enemy, having been recruited by U.S. Army counterterrorism expert and the first medic at Abu Ghraib prison, Gregory Ford, as a United States military informant, or the fact that when al-Baghdadi was injured on the battlefield, that he was raced to an Israeli hospital where they patched him back to health so they could return him to the battlefield to continue his terrorist acts. According to a recent poll released just April 25th of this year, almost three-quarters, 74% of the American public wants the U.S. government to release everything about the 9/11 attacks, not just this limited hangout of the 28 pages. When these 28 pages, the ultimate limited hangout, are finally released, it will not be the full truth of September 11th, not even close. It will not be the end of the story. It will only be the beginning. It is up to us, the American people, and especially the leadership and top opinion makers of the progressive left, to do everything we can to ensure that the real full story is uncovered, told, and acted upon so that the real perpetrators are finally brought to justice. I thank you for this opportunity to bring the facts to the American people and to the progressive left leadership, and I look forward to your questions.
That was Barbara Honegger speaking at the Left Forum in May of 2016. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.